with God's help and to God's honor and to God's glory. Let us read together from the Old Testament, from the 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22 is a very lengthy chapter, so I would like to stop on verse number 35. 1 Kings chapter 22. Prva knjiga o carevima, 22. glava, 35 stihova iz početka. Želim da se čita, Bogu na hvalu i na čast. 1 Kings chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither Micah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered about upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had ruled over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that he was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. May God bless his word. Let us all this chapter that we have before us, dearly beloved, is more than a historical event of a war between Syria and Israel. Just to briefly go back, Syria was defeated by Israel. And they said, the reason we were defeated is because their God, the God of Israel, he's the God of the hills, but he is not God of the valley. Therefore, they decided to go back to the battle. But this time, they will fight in the valley. Because this God of Israel, he's only the God of hills. That's what was going in their mind. God was definitely displeased with that. And if we read the chapter, I believe, 20, they got defeated again. Because God is a powerful God. God is God of the hill, the valley. He created it all. He's the Almighty God. So we know about King Ahab. He was one of the worst kings that ever lived. Very, very evil. And his wife, I'm not sure who was more evil, Jezebel or King Ahab. But as Elijah said to him, that he has sold himself. He said in previous chapter, verse 20, it says, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Very, very evil king. So as this chapter continues, and it says there was no war for 3 years. Now, when the people of Syria were defeated, God told King Ahab to destroy, to kill everyone. But he saved the king of Syria. He did not fulfill God's will. he saved him. In return, king of Syria told him that he will give him a city. And this was one of the cities that we read, Ramoth-Gilead. He was supposed to give him the city, and yet he didn't. So the king of Israel, he's saying, as we read, know ye that Ramoth is in Gilead is ours, and we're just sitting around, we're not taking it. It belongs to us. So King Jehoshaphat, his brother mentioned the prayer. He was a godly king. He was a good king. Not perfect, but he did bring people back from worshiping idols. So somehow, for whatever reason, doesn't say, he came to visit the king of Israel, King Ahab, the evil king. So as the king of Israel said, well, this city is ours, and we're just sitting around. We need to go and take it. So he asked Jehoshaphat if he will go with him to battle. And for whatever reason, king of Judah decided to go with him. He says, my people are as your people, my horses and thy horses. We're all together. We're all together in this. But Jehoshaphat said, why don't we ask God, shall we go to battle or not? The kings in the past, the good kings, godly kings, would always inquire from the prophets whether they should go in battle. Because we know the battle is, and the victory is from the Lord. God is the only one that can save, that can win, that can help. When people trusted in God, they prevailed. They won the battles. When they didn't, if they sinned, if they were not pleasing unto God, they would lose the battle. So Jehoshaphat said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So king of Israel, he gathered about 400 men. They were all prophets. So he asked him, shall we go against that city or not? So every one of them said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 prophets are saying, go, you will be victorious. Jehoshaphat, for some reason, deep down, could not accept that. 400 prophets are saying, go. And yet, he wasn't at peace with that. He says, is there another prophet, anyone else that we can ask? He knew that he wasn't right. There was, a gut feeling. So king of Israel said, yes, there is one more. One man is a prophet, Micaiah. But he says, I hate him. Why does he hate him so much? We can ask him. He's a prophet, but I cannot stand him. He said, I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. That's a good reason, right? Not to call that prophet, because he will tell him evil things. Well, when someone is evil, what can you expect? What was King Ahab expecting when he did evil? We know the story from the previous chapter, how he took that vineyard, or his wife talked him into it, from Naboth, the Jezreelite. He was evil. So he said, well, I hate him. He doesn't speak good concerning me, but evil. And then king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, said, don't say that. Let's call him and see. So the king of Israel called an officer. He says, go and bring Micaiah, from the son of Imlah. And he was in prison, because it says that afterwards they told him, take him back into the prison. Now, he might be the same prophet. I won't go much into it now, but he might be the same prophet that prophesied to King Ahab how he will die. It's written in chapter 20, I believe. Anyway, so he went back to prison after he spoke God's word. But when they called him, he came. But before he came, the servant, one of the servants, when he came to get Micaiah, he said to him, let me just read that. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of all the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth, with one accord. They're all in agreement. So you should do the same thing. You should do the same. You should tell them the same thing. Prophesy good things concerning the king of Ahab. And of course, Micaiah said, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak. Everyone likes to hear pleasant things. Even king, great, powerful king, he wants to hear good things. We can read, there's a verse in Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 10, where Isaiah speaks about the rebellious people, lying children. It says, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And the verse 10 says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Don't tell us the right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit, pleasant things. Tell us the good things. That's what people of Israel wanted. Tell the prophets, tell us good, pleasant things. Don't tell us the truth. The truth hurts. We can hear that often. So this messenger is preparing Micaiah, the prophet. Be careful. 400 prophets are saying good things. You be as one of them. Tell them the same thing. This is what king wants to hear. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak. What kind of a prophet would he be if he would say the same thing as these 400 false prophets were saying? And even this Zedekiah, he was one of the chief prophets, I guess, to King Ahab. He made him horns of iron, a pair of horns of iron, signifying power. Two kings with great power. And he says, he was showing this example with horns that he made. He said, thus saith the Lord, which God did not say that. He was a false prophet too. Thus saith the Lord, with these shall thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. False. Again. And all the prophets continued on over and over. Go and you will prosper. You will win the battle. So as Micaiah comes, he has been instructed by this messenger. You know, Ahab did not like the messenger because he did not like the message. He did not like the message that Micaiah will give him. But from the beginning, when Micaiah came, he says, the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? Same question as he asked all the other prophets. And here, for a moment, Micaiah is mocking the king or being a little sarcastic. He tells him the same thing. Go. Sure. Go ahead and prosper. For the Lord should deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, wouldn't that be enough for the king of Ahab to say, okay, now he's telling me same thing as these 400 prophets. He's telling me good things. And yet, he knew that because he was evil, he knew that that wasn't the case. Deep down, he knew. So then the king said, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? You want the truth? Now he gives him the truth. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Here's the king that's telling him, tell me the truth. And then when he does, no good. Now he's upset. People always said, tell me the truth. And then when you do, it's not what they're expecting. It's not right. Tell me my truth. The one I want to hear. That's what King Ahab wanted. He's telling him, how many times do I tell you? Tell me the truth. And then when he does, no good. People say they want to hear, and yet they show it differently. They do not want to hear the truth. Many, many, even today, do not want to hear about it. How many times, it happened to me before too, we speak to someone from the gospel, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Prophesy unto us smooth, pleasant things. There are even today many preachers from mega churches uplift people only. Tell them the pleasant things. So that's why so many people come, because they like to hear pleasant things, beautiful things. It's all good. Just love God, and you're done. Don't admonish me. Don't correct me. Just tell me beautiful things. That's easy. It's easy to accept when someone tells you nice things. God is love. God is good. It's easy to serve him that way, but that's not the truth. So now Micaiah is prophesying what God has told him to say, the truth. And then he explains to King Ahab and Jehoshaphat, he says, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. He had a vision, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. We know the Bible speaks about those that are good will be on the right hand, and those that are evil on the left. So who are those that are on the left? Well, we read the rest of the chapter. Those were the false spirits, the ones that were that would entice and persuade Ahab to go to the war, because God had determined evil for King Ahab, and he kept that promise that he will be killed because of all the evil that he has done. And it says that they were all on his right hand, left hand. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall, be destroyed, be killed at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, and the other said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. God said, how? Wherewith? He said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, or all his prophets. Very important to know. Where he says, all his prophets, Ahab's prophets, not God's prophets, Ahab's prophets. And God said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So now he's telling him, he's actually explaining to Ahab, telling him the truth, how all this came to pass, perhaps giving him time maybe to repent, to change. He did, it says that in previous chapter, that he, when Elijah told them of all the evil that he has done, in previous chapter, last two verses, or verse 29, it says, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days I will bring evil upon his house. So he did repent, but very shallow repentance, and briefly, of the evil that he has done. We can see this chapter that we read that he wasn't truly repented of the evil that he has done. He is still going against God's will, against God's commandment. So Micaiah is explaining and telling Ahab, these are all the lying spirits that are prophesying to you, telling you to go to the battle that you will win. So he knew that he wasn't God's will. And again, this Zedekiah, the main prophet, if you will, he says, went near, and he smote Micaiah on the cheek. He slapped him, and he says, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? He hit him, and then Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Now the king said, put him back in the prison and give him bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return. I'm not sure what kind of a hope he had that he will return when he knew that he will not. He did not want to hear it. So they put him back in the prison. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, then the Lord did not speak to me. And then he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. He's telling everyone to remember his words. So now the king of Israel knows the truth, knows what will happen to him. And here he's trying to perhaps mock God, try to do something different. Man always has a plan. So his plan was, we'll still go to battle, we'll still go and fight, but I will disguise myself. Can anyone disguise himself before God? What good will that do? As a man, he's thinking, I will disguise myself, and we will enter into the battle. They will know who I am. I will take the robe of the king off and put a regular clothing as a soldier. Nobody will know who I am. Perhaps from the Syrians nobody knew. But is there anything hidden from God? He sees all things and he knows all things. We cannot hide from God. You know, there's a saying, you can run, but you cannot hide. For whatever reason, King Jehoshaphat went with him. He had his own kingly robe on. And the king of Syria, interesting thing, he said, king of Syria commanded his 32 captains. He said, fight neither with small nor great, only with king of Israel. He wanted to make sure that they get him. Just look out for him. Well, of course, the first person that they saw that looked like a king, that was dressed like king, was Jehoshaphat. So they were just about to shoot him with the arrows. And of course, he cried out. So when they realized that this is the wrong king, they let him go. So they were only looking for King Ahab. Now he's disguised. They cannot see him. They don't know. There's so many people. They're all fighting back and forth. Who can tell who's King Ahab when he's disguised? He's got different clothing on. Here's an interesting verse, 34. And a certain man, no name given, certain man, one soldier, drew a bow at a venture by chance, or not by chance, maybe just as they were fighting. We know when the battle is going on, you can't always aim at certain individual. Enemies on one side, the others are on this side. They're shooting the arrows at each other. Most likely, someone will be hit because you're shooting a lot of arrows on the side of the enemy until you get into a closer battle with swords. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. Just drew to shoot whoever. He wasn't aiming at king because he could not tell who he was, but God was. God saw him. He watched every step that he made. He knew where he was. He aimed that arrow right at King. You cannot hide. You cannot hide from God. Just a certain man doing what the soldiers do in the battle. Shoot the arrows, and yet God directed his arrow. And he hit, he said that he hit the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. And then he said to the driver, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. I'm sure that at that time he realized that he's done, that he has been defeated, that whatever God promised, it came to pass. Now it's too late for him to repent, change, fix things, change things. He's wounded, and he knew that he will die. And it does say, the verse that we read, 35th, that he stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians. Instead of going away, he stayed as the king, prompt himself up most likely, so the people will not give up. When the king is with them, the captain or the king is with the soldiers, they have hope he's holding them up. They're fighting. If the king runs away, then most likely the army will run away too. So many times the king will stay up to encourage people. He said that the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even at night. He died at night, so he must have been in there in that chariot most of the day. So that king died. He was brought back to Samaria, and they buried him in Samaria. And then verse 38 speaks about what the prophet prophesied about that king, how he will die and what will happen to him. A lesson that we might learn from this chapter, first of all, not to be evil, to be good, to please God, to have the fear, to obey God's commandments, to be obedient unto his word, and never, let's never try to hide from God. He sees and knows all things. We cannot run and hide from God. He will find us. As we heard on Wednesday, the sword will find us. We cannot run away. So let us be pleasing in God's sight and be obedient and continue in prayer, that we would not fear what will happen to us. But if we sin, we live in sin, if we are disobedient to God, then we might as well fear. May God bless his holy word within our hearts, and hope and pray that even these few words that I was able to speak, that it would find room in our heart, and that we would learn a lesson from it, and that we would be obedient, and that we would always please our Heavenly Father, for he has done so much for us. He sent his only Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, who died for our sins so that we can have that everlasting joy, the life that he has promised to all of us if we abide faithful unto him. May God bless his word. Amen. Amen.
There was read before us this afternoon one of those dramatic scenes in the scripture, that if we look in the beginning, we see King Jehoshaphat, who made an alliance, a good king made an alliance with an evil king. And God, and this is because he had married off his son with one of Ahab and Jezebel's daughters. It's the example in scripture of what God had said. It's the sons of God marrying the daughters of men. And we know what takes place. It's the same thing that Scripture warns us about. The evil will have the influence over the good. She was raised with an evil heritage, and the influences that she had. But what did it do to King Jehoshaphat? It created in him that he had to form an alliance with the King Ahab. They were all the children were already married. He already went against God, and now he further goes and he creates an alliance. This wasn't Jehoshaphat's battle. Ramoth Gilead wasn't his. It was Ahab's. Ahab lost it. Why? Because he was evil. We can see through Scripture whenever Israel lost any of its battles, it's because God had left him. That was a huge thing for Israel to lose a battle because God isn't with them. From the beginning of Scripture all through, any loss was God wasn't with them. And so now there's an alliance between these two kings, and as was spoken of, all that had taken place. But one thing is really dramatic here, that Micaiah the prophet, he's already in prison. And this is really powerful when we see this, that the messenger that was told by Ahab, go fetch him, bring him out. He goes and he tells him, hey, these prophets have all said, go and you will be victorious. So basically he's saying, you want to get back into the king's good graces? You want to get out of prison? You want to get out of this? Just go tell him he's going to win. And what an easy way to just get out of jail, right? He says, as the Lord God, as the Lord liveth, which it's true, it's fact. He says, as he liveth, he says, I will say only that which he will tell me to speak. And it cost him going right back to prison. But not only did he tell him that, he told him, he goes, you're going to die. And he said to all the others, he goes, listen, so that you know what I have said. It's what God has told me. Ahab's not coming out of this alive. So, as the brother mentioned, the man that shot that arrow, he didn't know that was Ahab. That was a God-aimed arrow. And we see in Psalm 64:7, it says, and it speaks of the evildoers, and then it says, but God shall shoot at them. God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. And he says, but the righteous shall be glad in the Lord. They shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Isn't that a powerful word? Micaiah didn't care about prison. He was going to be a servant of the high living God. That's it. Dear ones, do we form alliances with the world? You know, when a preacher man goes to the president or to a leader of a nation, and he doesn't tell him the truth of God's word, he becomes a friend of the president. He becomes his friend. But if he went there and delivered God's truth, he would be an enemy. He'd be an enemy. We see it here. The truth of God goes against man and his devices and his plans. It goes completely against him. He has to give in to that. He doesn't want to hear that. Do we want to hear the truth of God? Apostle Paul says, am I there, to the Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes. Yes. We don't want the truth. When we don't want the truth is our enemy. And anyone who speaks it, I hate you. You just are criticizing me. You're just this. I don't like you. You're against me. Is that what the message is? We become, Paul is saying, what, I'm not becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? Micaiah said the same thing. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You're going to die. You don't like to hear it? Doesn't matter. It's the truth. The truth is the truth. The truth is the word. The truth is life. And so, dear ones, let's uphold the truth. Let's love the truth. We heard the message even in the morning. we will be hated. When you speak truth, you live by the truth, you will be hated. You don't, you're going to be friends with the enemies. So may God instruct us each in this day. We've heard much. There's a dramatic scene that played out here. And there's so much in it that we can learn from and take with us. And may we do that with God's help. Amen.